Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together...
Now that sounds a little different to me when I hear this is an Orthodox choir, I think an American Orthodox choir, singing that part of the Nicene Creed, where when I'm in church speaking the creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and the Son. They didn't say that part, and the Son. Then the similarity resumes, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified. Why no and the Son among this wing of the church today? And how old is this controversy? It's called the Filioque controversy. What difference does it make whether the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father alone or from the Father and the Son? Pastor Peter Bender joins us for the next half hour of the program. You can as well, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Bender is a regular guest pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, it's good to be with you up here in Wisconsin, waiting anxiously for the start of baseball season and warmer temperatures.
Oh, yeah. Warmer temperatures, definitely. Peter, what difference does it make? I know this is an old controversy, in fact, a rather sharp one, but what difference does it make whether or not one believes that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father or from the Father and the Son?
The first difference it makes has to do with the clarity of Jesus' words. The language that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son comes from Jesus' own teaching. And that's why we in the West have added that to the Nicene Creed at the Third Ecumenical Council for clarification, not that the previous version of the Nicene Creed was wrong, but to give greater clarity to it. Jesus says in his catechesis, his instruction on the Holy Spirit in John's Gospel, that when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and that I am sending him is where the concept of the double, as it sometimes is called, double procession of the Spirit comes. And what I think has happened by observation is that in the Eastern Church, where the Nicene Creed reads simply, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, and in the West, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. What has happened in the Eastern Church is that Jesus does not, and his atoning work does not have center stage as it does in the Western Church. And I think some of your observations, if you look at the Eastern liturgy, and if you listen to preaching there, on the whole, Jesus, the cross, and the atonement is diminished. And that comes right back to Jesus' catechesis from John 15 and then 16 when he says, the Holy Spirit will come, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And so the Holy Spirit must always be seen as the Spirit of Christ. He gave up the Spirit upon the cross, the Spirit who testifies always of him. And I think that's the phenomenon that you see happening between East and West when the Filioque is missing.
Now, there's an awful lot to discuss here. I'm glad we have a whole half hour to do it. Was the issue, here's the question I've got. Was the split that eventually was kind of carried forward by this controversy, not entirely by this controversy, but certainly it was a catalyst, was the issue really about adding something to the creed, or was it a real issue, real argument over the procession of the Spirit?
Well, the issue goes back to basic Christology, the second article of the Nicene Creed. For the listeners who are unaware, the Nicene Creed is an expansion of the Apostles' Creed. It had its origin in the First Ecumenical Council, 325 AD in Nicaea. And that ecumenical council was attempting to deal with the deep questions and divide over the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he God or is he not God? And in 325, that first ecumenical council convened by Constantine asserted the full divinity of Christ, but there were still issues, people unsatisfied. And in 381, a second ecumenical council was convened in Constantinople. And that really sharpened the language of the Nicene Creed, where in the second article you have Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, and so forth. And then this very important phrase, being of one substance with the Father. You see, the Arians were those who followed the heretic Arius, denied the full divinity of the Son of God. And they had this view that God was divinely transcendent, you know, utterly inaccessible, and alone begotten, without equal, unchangeable, and God couldn't create the world directly because of his transcendence, that he was so far above everything. And so, actually, in Arian thought, God, this monad, created out of nothing another being, an intermediate being, who became known as the Logos, the eternal Word, or the Son, who was not true God, not of one substance with the Father. And so that Arian controversy and the other Christological controversies that denied the full divinity of Christ, some of them taught adoptionism, where, again, because of this transcendent God, he could not fully engage the creation, and so he adopts the man Jesus for a time. But all of those heresies are behind what gave rise to the Nicene Creed in 325 and then in 381, where it takes its present form minus the filioque. And the Western Church, the Latin fathers, were very concerned about a reversion back to the Arian heresies, denying the full divinity of Christ, and were also concerned about the same thing happening concerning the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so in 589, in Toledo, Spain, that third ecumenical council was convened. And since it was in Spain, and since it was involved the Latin fathers, the Nicene Creed translated into Latin, filioque is the Latin, and that of and the Son was added to carry on this deep concern that all three persons of the Trinity would be fully confessed as God of one divine substance, yet three distinct persons. This is maybe a little bit heavy Trinitarian theology for some, but it was really a deep concern, and particularly of the Western fathers, who did not want to deny the full divinity of Jesus. So the confessing of the filioque, and that the Holy Spirit is always the Spirit of Christ who proceeds from the Father and the Son, to bear witness to Jesus was a deep concern for the Latin fathers of the West.
I want to come back to something you said before, and that is whether in connection with this controversy or not, the center of gravity of the Eastern Church's theology, such as it is, because they have a very different way of doing theology, if you can call it doing theology at all.
Yeah, that's right.
But the center of gravity is not, to be honest, the person and work of Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice for sins. It is, I've said, really the inner workings of the divine life of the Trinity at the center of that. Why does that make a difference?
Well, it makes a difference because of the things that the scriptures say that about the person and work of Jesus and how we come to know God. And in John's Gospel, for example, the apostle and evangelist St. John says, no one has seen God at any time. The only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And so when Jesus is giving his great instruction on the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, he keeps reasserting again and again that he will testify of me. He will testify of me. And that is, you know, what ends up skewing the focus away from Christ to understanding God in a way where Christ and his atoning work upon the cross is not central. And that's really what is at stake. So when we're talking about, we can't talk about the Holy Spirit apart from talking about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, whom Christ himself sent, and who takes of what is Jesus and declares it to us.
I remember having a conversation with someone who, I don't know if they, I can't remember if they were Orthodox or if they just had an affinity for Orthodoxy, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break. They said, and again, it goes to, in some ways, both the Roman tendency and the Eastern Church's tendency to believe that the Church continues to be guided by a spirit apart from the external word, that is Holy Scripture, a spirit that can speak new things outside of Holy Scripture and reveal new things to the Church. This person said, look, the whole heart of the Filioque controversy really is not putting the Spirit in a box, not limiting the Spirit as to what the Spirit can or will do with the Church. Well, that explains a lot. I mean, it explains why there is, both in Rome and in the Eastern Church, a rejection of things like sola scriptura. It also explains why they believe that they have ongoing additional revelations apart from those things explicitly revealed in Holy Scripture. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Filioque with Pastor Peter Bender.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Depression, the Silent Epidemic, is the title of a seminar Tuesday evening, February the 10th, at the Wisconsin Room at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Beverly Yonke is the presenter. Learn how to spot signs of depression in yourself and how to help others who are suffering, deeply hurting, or depressed. Find out more about depression, the Silent Epidemic, at www.lmcusc.org or by calling 414-332-5732.
Old Theology, New Technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jim Anderson, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, Stephen Miller, Jeff Hummel, Katie Haley, Lorian Rich Fick, Zach Warman, Mark Lund, Stacy Fan, and Scott Strokirch. Thanks for your support.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday, January the 27th. What kind of questions or comments do you have on the Filioque and the Son? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, or just from the Father. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. You can email us here in the studio. We get your questions and comments in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Before the break, I recounted a conversation with someone who said, look, if you really want to understand the filioque, it is about understanding that the Eastern Church, and to a certain degree the Roman Church as well, does not put a limit on the Holy Spirit. This is a Holy Spirit that is free to do more than simply testify of Jesus Christ in Holy Scripture.
Well, someone could make that assertion, but they make it apart from the witness of Scripture. The Scriptures always present the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Christ who testifies of Him. And I just don't find it anywhere in the Bible where it is said otherwise. And when you take all of John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 on Jesus' great teaching of the Holy Spirit, and that's repeatedly what is asserted. And when we speak of the Scriptures as being God-breathed, inspired by God, it is through Christ that the Spirit is given to the prophets of old and also to the apostles in the New Testament. And so that the Spirit is always the Spirit of Christ testifying to Jesus, not simply after Jesus' death and resurrection, but it has always been the Spirit of Christ testifying to Christ in the Old Testament times, from the beginning, the holy prophets. St. Peter says that we have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed. And there in the Mount of Transfiguration, he was reflecting upon that in his epistle. He had Moses there and Elijah talking with Jesus about his decease, his suffering and death. And here you've got these two Old Testament prophets doing that, to whom the word of the Lord came by the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And the Father himself says that no one can know him except through the Son. And the Holy Spirit testifies always of Jesus that we might know the Son. So the focus in Christianity is always upon Jesus, always upon his person and work, always upon worshiping him, always upon a faith that's centered in him.
Now, I'm sure that if we don't mention this, we'll get email on it, you know, when the show is over. So let's get to this one, and that is John 14:26. But the Counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. On the basis of this passage, often those who will not utter the filioque and the Son in the Nicene Creed say, well, it's that the Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son, but not from the Father and the Son.
Yeah, I understand that. So we have to take all of the words of Jesus together, don't we? Since he doesn't contradict himself, and since he calls himself the sender of the Spirit, and since he calls the Father the sender of the Spirit, then they must both send the Spirit, and the Spirit must proceed from both. And I think that's the way I would handle that, allowing Jesus' own words to interpret. And then when you see that Jesus dying upon the cross and giving up the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of ancient iconography, even before the filioque of 589 A.D., that shows the dove coming forth from Jesus upon the cross. In the upper room, then, in John 20, in his resurrection appearances, Jesus appears and says, peace be with you. And with that, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Surely the Holy Spirit is proceeding from the Son, but also from the Father at the same time. So that's the way I would handle all of those taken together. And I go back to that phenomenon that I certainly have observed and mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, that in the Eastern Church, the cross of Christ is not central. In the Western tradition, it is. And I think a lot of that has to do with this expression of the filioque.
This email comes from a listener in Colorado. After the ascension of Jesus, is it right to speak of the procession of the Holy Spirit from the flesh or the human nature of Jesus? And what would this mean for us?
Well, I think when we speak about that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, we are speaking about the eternal economy of the Trinity. In other words, His procession from the Son, from the Father and the Son, is not something that begins in time or follows after His ascension, but is the very description of the triune God, the one divine essence, yet three distinct persons. And this has a lot to do also with our humanity, in the sense that when we're created in the image of God, we are created as a reflection of the one God who is nonetheless a community of loving persons. And so the Father and the Son, begotten of the Father, from them proceeds a third, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, as St. Augustine referred to him. And in a similar way, that's shadowed or reflected in humanity, where a man and a woman come together, and out of them proceeds a third, a child. And is the child, you know, from the father, or is the child from the mother? Well, the answer is yes. I don't want to press the analogy, too far, but it is part of what it means to be made in the image of the triune God of love. And so it's important to maintain that the three persons of the Trinity and their relationships to one another are from eternity. These are eternal relationships. The Father is eternal. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father, and the Holy Spirit eternally proceeds from the Father and the Son. We get to experience, then, the divine life of the Trinity through Jesus, in time and in space, by the gospel and by the sacraments that are preached, through which the Holy Spirit is always working to bring us to Christ.
Well, let's talk about that real, because our time is short, and I have two questions for you. One is, why is it important that we maintain that there is a particular way that the Spirit is sent, namely via the external word that is Holy Scripture, and no other way can be said to be a reliable intercourse with the Spirit? Why is that so important? About 30 seconds.
Oh, why? Because our entire existence is according and by the Word of God. You see that at creation. The Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. God said, "Let there be," and it was so. And God breathed life into Adam's nostrils by the Word at creation. And ever since then, you know, the life-giving Word of God through which the Spirit works is the source of life and salvation. It's why the Holy Spirit is called the Lord and Giver of life. Adam and Eve fell into sin when they turned away from that Word by which they were created and that Word that gave them life. And there simply is no life apart from the life-giving Word of God through which the Spirit works. No one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit, and faith comes by hearing that Word.
Okay, then finally, with only about 20 seconds, why is it, bottom line, that we believe that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son?
Because that's what Scripture reveals to us, and it is the Word of God that gives us certainty, and that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son is who He is, and the Holy Spirit is always testifying to Christ. And any spirit that does not testify to Christ and the centrality of His death and resurrection as the source of our salvation is a false spirit or counterfeit spirit, because the Spirit of God who proceeds from the Father and the Son is always drawing us to Jesus to embrace Him in repentance and faith and to receive Him in word and in sacrament, who gave His life for us.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. You can find out more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy under the on-demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. is straight ahead. In Hour 2, a full docket. First, we will remember 4th century, 5th century Bishop of Antioch and Constantinople, two great centers of Christendom, John Chrysostom, the great preacher, the great proclaimer of the gospel. Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We'll talk about Nancy Pelosi's recent comments on economic stimulus and family planning funding, in particular contraception. We'll round off today's program with a half hour, part two of our five-part daily series on biblical examples of preaching. Yesterday, it was Moses preaching to the Old Testament people of God before their entrance into the Promised Land. In about a half hour, it'll be Jesus preaching to the people of God in Nazareth. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.